I've heard it said, you steer where you stare. We are bombarded daily with voices vying for our attention. And if we fill our days and minds with Netflix and social media feeds, we can get off track pretty quick. That's why I developed a 30-day music challenge. Listen to Christian music exclusively for 30 days. The challenge is free, and I'll be right there with you every step of the way. Head over to michellenezat.com/30-day-challenge to sign up. Change your music, change your life. You're listening to More Than a Song, episode 276. Hello, and welcome to this episode of More Than a Song. My name is Michelle Nezat, and this is the podcast dedicated to helping you discover the truth of Scripture hidden in today's popular Christian music. My goal is to teach you to connect portions of God's Word with the songs you're singing along with on the radio, to help you meditate on truths that will transform your way of thinking and ultimately your life. This week's song, You Got This by Lovin' the Outcome, was a request by my listener, Sonny. He said it really encouraged him, but my prayer is that it inspires him and all of us to understand the reliability of our God and Father and to depend on Him. Sometimes we just need a little encouragement, especially when we're on one path and the Lord seems to be taking us in a completely different direction. Peter and Paul each had an experience like this recorded for our benefit in the book of Acts. But before we jump into scripture, let's listen. I don't know the way. That was the chorus, but the opening lyrics of our song this week asks, have you ever had one of those days when nothing really goes your way, then you see it wasn't meant to? I love this. Nothing really going my way because it wasn't meant to. I want to point your attention to two men in the book of Acts. One was actively working against God, and one was actively promoting the things of Christ. Neither outcome was what they thought, but it was exactly what God ordained for them at just the right time. Now, the theological basis of our song is that God is sovereign. And the fact that God is sovereign essentially means that He has the power and the wisdom and the authority to do anything He chooses within His creation. And the reason I want to start with a theological basis is that there are underlying beliefs that we need to be sure are founded in what Scripture teaches. So if we believe that God has the power and the wisdom and the authority necessary to help us in our current situations, then we come to the conclusion, although grammatically incorrect, okay, God, I believe you got this. All right, and even if we're not quite there, I love how the chorus, it asks for the faith to believe it, right? So maybe it's a prayer that I pray a lot. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. So let's stop for a minute and consider the opposite of God's sovereignty. That's a bite, by the way, considering the opposite. What's a bite? Well, it's an acronym for Bible Interaction Tool Exercise. And these are just exercises that I use in my own Bible study time. So when we take the bite of considering the opposite of sovereignty, we suggest that God doesn't have the power to impact my situation. What might that look like? Well, an underlying belief that what we're dealing with is impossible, right? But is anything impossible for our all-powerful God? Or perhaps we don't believe that He has the wisdom. How might that show up in our experiences? Well, in my life, it's when I don't trust God's way. I'm basically saying that His way is flawed or wrong or incomplete. And when I do that, I'm calling it sovereignty of God. Or perhaps we don't believe God has the authority over my situation. As if somehow there are aspects of His creation that are immune to His touch. Well, keep all of these thoughts in mind as you consider the two examples from Acts that we are about to explore. Now, we won't have time today on the podcast to read both stories in their entirety. I actually kind of like when this happens because what I really want for you, I want to inspire you to read God's word for yourself. And don't fret if you have never read the book of Acts before. There is a first time for everything. I actually love the book of Acts because it is account after account of the beginning stages of the church, the body of Christ. And there is so much to glean from studying the book of Acts. So let's take the first account. It's about Paul when Paul was referred to as Saul, which, by the way, is his Hebrew name. And Paul would have been the Greek version of his name. Same guy, same name too, really. And so I want you to read from Acts chapter 1 if you want to truly gain the entire context of what's happening here. That's a bite. Read in context. But I'm going to spend most of our time in Acts chapter 9. But if you read Acts chapter 6 and 7, you will read about Stephen. Now, he was a godly man who was making waves, and ultimately he gave his life for the cause of Christ. He was the first Christian martyr recorded in Scripture. But you might ask, well, why do I need to read about Stephen if we're going to be talking about Saul and Peter? Well, because Saul was there approving of the murder of this man. How do I know? Because it says so in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. It says, "And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison." All right. So who was this Saul? Well, he tells us a little bit about himself in Philippians chapter 3. He says, "If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless." So we see here that Saul was a Pharisee. He was trained. He knew Old Testament scripture, and he was devoted and zealous to that, which he thought was true. And when of course it is true, but in his estimation, because he did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And in Galatians chapter 1, Paul says, "For you have heard of my former way of life in Judaism, how severely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers." So Paul was a very successful Jew. He was advancing his beliefs until one day in Acts chapter 9, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and he asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him in red letters, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" I say red letters because that means it's the voice of Jesus. And Saul said, or he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. All right, so Paul just had one of those days when nothing really went his way because it wasn't meant to, just like our song says. It was meant to go God's way. And when we keep reading in verse 19 of the same chapter in Acts, it says, for some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. All right, so why did I choose this as an example of our song? Well, if you were a Christian in the time of Saul, you might think that God most definitely did not have this, especially after what happened to Stephen. But God did indeed have it, and he handled it in his own way, and he brought Saul to his knees and changed the trajectory of his life. And indeed, he changed the trajectory of the life of the church, ultimately our lives too, because Paul's writings make up much of the New Testament. And now let's look at Peter's story, because we see it when we keep reading to Acts chapter 10. And basically, I came across these stories while using the bite of read and keep on reading. I think sometimes we stay in too small sections of scripture, most of the time just in mere verses, right? You see them on Instagram and feel all warm and fuzzy inside without really understanding the context of where they are found. But even more than that, just read and keep on reading. But Peter is an apostle of Jesus, okay? He was called to follow him by Jesus, just like Saul, only he had been called while Jesus was walking the earth, but Jesus called them both. And when you read the Gospels, you can see the special relationship that Peter had with Jesus. He was in his inner circle, and he experienced things along the way with James and John that the rest of the 12 did not experience. And Peter was a devoted Jew as well, and he continued in the traditions even after Jesus came, died, and was resurrected. Specifically, he separated himself from the Gentiles or non-Jews, and because this was what was prescribed in the law. And he was merely following that law, just like any good Jew should. And there were many Jews who needed to hear the good news of the gospel, so he had plenty of people to talk to and share the good news with. And that Jesus was their long-awaited Messiah of God's chosen people. So the story that I'm about to talk about is in Acts chapter 10, begins with Cornelius, who is a Gentile, and he receives a message from an angel of God that tells him to go get Peter. And then next we see Peter's side of the story. While praying, Peter receives a vision from God three times that basically shows him animals that Jews would consider unclean. And Jesus tells him in his vision, don't call anything impure that God has made clean. And then Cornelius's men find Peter and invite him to come to Cornelius's house, where the two meet and share their visions. And then Peter delivers the good news to the Gentiles. Go ahead and read it for yourself. I want to share the recap found in Acts chapter 11. Okay, so in Acts chapter 10, the story actually unfolds, and then this is kind of the recap. Verse 1, the apostles and believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Now, don't forget, this would not have been approved behavior according to the law. But remember, even though it did not go Peter's way or the way of these believers in Jerusalem, God had it in hand and has the authority and the power and the wisdom to reveal his ultimate plan, which is saving grace available to all people. But let's keep reading the recap. Verse 4, starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' And I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, "Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved." Verse 15, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? Verse 18, when they, remember these are the uncircumcised believers, or the circumcised believers who had criticized Peter, when they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." Now, I'm not sure what you're dealing with right now. Maybe it feels impossible, right? But like Saul's miraculous conversion, God is sovereign. Maybe it just doesn't feel right. But maybe like God revealed to Peter, his ways are not our ways, even if it's the way that you've been raised. Okay, be sure to place your faith in what Scripture actually says, not just what you've been told, okay? So, again, Lord, give me the faith. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Give me the faith that I need to believe what your word says and to apply it that way. Or perhaps we don't believe God has authority over the situation. And like the circumcised believers in Jerusalem, may we see the proof and respond with praise, thanking God for his sovereign way. So what's next? Well, I skimmed over quite a bit of the text today, so you can catch up by reading Acts chapter 6 through 11. And as you read, I want you to keep God's sovereignty in the forefront of your mind. How would these accounts look different if the main characters were sovereign over the outcomes? Okay, what were some of the grand scheme of things outcomes in reality? What I mean by that is consider Paul's way. If he had his way, he would have just arrested a bunch of people in Damascus and brought them to Jerusalem. Instead, God's way, God intervened in his sovereignty and miraculously converted him. And over the course of years, Paul ended up on missionary journeys, I mean, all over the place, and sending letters, and a lot of the scripture, the New Testament scripture that we have today, came from Paul's hand. So that was the actual outcome. So consider the same thing. You know, Peter, I read recently that you could source back to Cornelius's vision and Peter's vision, and the two visions coming together in obedience to the Holy Spirit, so that the gospel was shared among Gentiles, and then that kind of opened that whole world where Jesus spoke directly to Peter, saying, "Really, this whole salvation thing was for everyone, and not just Jews." And so it changed the course of everything. Both of these stories. So consider that the grand scheme of things outcomes, and kind of play that out in your mind. And then, where in your life are you questioning God's sovereignty? Let's just call a spade a spade. Let's just recognize when we are questioning his wisdom or his authority or his power. I think that when I ask, is God powerful enough? Oh yeah, of course he is. And yet there are still things in our lives that we consider impossible. All right. So where in your life are you questioning God's sovereignty? And then how can these accounts in Scripture lead you to trust and submit to God's will and his ways in your circumstances? And then while you're in God's word this week, let me know how you're doing. Email me, michelle@michellenezat.com. You can hop on Twitter at Michelle Nezat, Instagram at Michelle Nezat, or on Facebook, Michelle L. Nezat is my public page. And let's talk about what you're learning. Now, before I tell you what song will be featured next week, I want to thank any new subscribers who have subscribed to my website recently, like Kelly from California, Vicky from Louisiana, Melanie from California, Rory from Texas, and Sierra from North Carolina. Welcome. Now, new subscribers to my website benefit from a one-page resource of my top 5 bites that I've used on the podcast. It's a really great place to start. And subscribers will also benefit from an email that I send once a week. And in this email, you get a weekly Memoryverse resource to display on your smartphone, tablet, desktop, or you can print it out. You get an email recap of the week's episode, and you get instant access to any of the resources I create from time to time. And all of that is just my way of saying thank you for listening. So head over to michellenezat.com to subscribe today. Now, have you had a chance to write a review in iTunes for my podcast yet? This really encourages me, of course, but it also helps me stay visible to new listeners. And as always, if you take the time to review my podcast, I will take the time to personally thank you right here on the podcast. And of course, you can listen to the podcast through iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. You can follow on Spotify or through Stitcher Radio or your podcast listening app of choice. Well, that's it for this episode of More Than a Song. Next week, I will use the song Look Up Child by Lauren Daigle in memory of my mentor's daughter, Susanna. If you liked this episode, would you mind sharing it with others? I've made it really easy. With just one click, you can share via Facebook, Twitter, or email. Just head over to michellenezat.com/276. While you're there, I'd love to hear from you. Click on comment to join the conversation. Until next time, take time to meditate on God's word and consider his ways.